Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 8 this morning. Proverbs chapter 8, and appreciate the first session so much, and so much practical wisdom and truth there, whether you're a pastor, parent, leader, friend. You know, sometimes being a good friend is listening to people and helping them through the decisions of their life, and so greatly appreciate that. Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to look at just one verse this morning, and I hope this will be a help to you. This text has been a real help to me and a challenge to me. In Proverbs 8, I want you to notice verse 14. Okay, now in Proverbs 8, wisdom is being personified, and she is speaking about herself. She is saying, this is who I am. This is what I do as wisdom. And so in verse 14, wisdom speaks and says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. And let's say this last phrase all together. I have strength. I want to preach on this subject with the Lord's help this morning. The role courage plays in wisdom. The role that courage plays in wisdom. Father, bless now the preaching and teaching of your word. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would help us to understand the vital role, Father, that courage plays in exercising wisdom in our life. Bless now our time in the word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So here in Proverbs 8, wisdom is describing itself. She's declaring as a woman in the street, crying out for people to hear her and to understand her. And it's interesting in Proverbs 8 because as wisdom begins to describe itself, there's a lot of the words that you and I would think of. When you think about wisdom in Proverbs, you think about things like discretion, knowledge, prudence. You read understanding. Those are all words that are often used. Justice, judgment. Often when you read the book of Proverbs, you'll hear wisdom expressed in some of those different formats. Understanding, prudence, justice, and judgment. But here in verse 8, Proverbs tells us something about wisdom that you don't see hardly at all in the book of Proverbs. And I think that oftentimes we might not even think about when we think about having wisdom, exercising wisdom. Proverbs says this in verse 14. She says this, I have strength. Now, what's interesting, when you look this word strength up, it means this. Now, listen to this. The word strength here means heroic valor or courage. Heroic valor or courage. Now, here's what valor or courage refers to. It is a strength of mind or a quality which enables a man or person to encounter a situation or danger with firmness, to have the power to engage something with courage or with bravery. And so, you know, if you think about someone being wise, you think about someone exercising wisdom, you would very rarely hear someone say, I need bravery, or I need courage. But the reality is this, is that if you sit and you really ponder the idea of wisdom, if you really think about what wisdom is and wisdom does, then you begin to understand how important what Solomon is teaching us here in the Word of God is, that wisdom has strength. And so I want us to kind of break this down. I want to start with this, that courage is necessary to carry out wisdom. Courage is necessary to carry out wisdom. So I want to just stop and remind us what wisdom is, okay? When you boil wisdom down, here's what it is. It is the ability to take raw materials, information, actual physical materials, our knowledge and our ability, and to take those raw materials and build or make or produce something beneficial. Okay, so like an example of that would be this, a painter. A painter comes and there's materials. There's a canvas, there's brushes, there's paints. Now, if you take me and you put me in front of that and you give me a brush and you give me a canvas and you give me paint, I do not have the wisdom. I do not have the skill to take those materials and make anything worth looking at on a canvas. Are you with me? If you take me, I'm not a mechanically inclined kind of a person. Actually, my wife is much more mechanically inclined than I am. I'm just going to confess that. If you get me in front of something that's broken, you put me in front of something that needs repaired, I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to look at Google, and I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to look at Google, and I'm going to try, but I'm going to end up making it a lot worse than when I started, because I lack the wisdom, the skill to take those raw materials and to build, produce, or fix, or come to a godly or good result. Now, wisdom as a Christian is very much the same thing. It is the ability to take the Word of God. The Word of God has information, truth, principles. And then in our life, we have relationships, we have situations, we have problems, we have opportunities, we have ministries, we have interactions, and wisdom is the ability to take the Word of God and all of its truths and all of its principles, and then to go into a situation or into our family or into a marriage or into a relationship, and to have the skill by the power of the Holy Spirit to use that material of knowledge and information and truth and work in our relationships or in ministry and produce something godly. So someone who is wise with their finances, there's someone who takes the biblical principles of the Word of God concerning their funds, they take the money that they have and they make godly decisions in saving and spending and budgeting and all these different things so that their money is used for the glory of God, their money is used for things that matter, and that they have the money to take care of their family, so forth and so on. The same thing with a parent. Look, there's a lot of parents that know a lot of Bible, but they do not have the wisdom in raising children. Now, there's people in church, and they know all kinds of Bible, and they have awful relationships, and they can't maintain a job, and they can't work with anyone, and they can't get along with anyone. It's not a lack of Bible knowledge. It's a lack of wisdom. Wisdom is the skill to take information, truth from the Word of God, and use it in real-time, real-life decisions to make godly and productive consequences or outcomes. Okay, now, in your life and in my life, here we are, and we have ministries, we have relationships, we have all these different things going on, and we're trying to bring about godly results, good results, okay? And inevitably, what's going to happen is this, is that as we're trying to build a ministry or see something move forward for the Lord, we're going to find ourselves coming into roadblocks where things aren't moving forward. Maybe people aren't being saved. Maybe there's a ministry or an area, it's not going well. There's tension, or there's just a lot of dysfunction. Sometimes it's in our family. There's some issues with children or whatever it is. And here's what happens. We begin to, before the Lord, we begin to diagnose it. We begin to try to figure out what's going on. And here's what's going to find out. You're going to find out inevitably something is going to be needed to be done to fix that problem so that we can get to a godly result. Okay? So it's like, okay, there's the breakdown. There's the problem. There's the situation, and there is some action that's going to be needed to be done to correct it. And here's what you're going to find. That action is going to require courage. That action is going to require bravery. That action is going to require strength in order to see something come about to a godly result. Let me give you some examples. In ministry, maybe you're trying to move something forward, and there's a person in a position, and your relationship with them isn't very good. And because your relationship with them isn't very good, they don't really care about what you think needs to happen. They're kind of doing things their own way. And as they're doing things their own way, it's kind of messing up what you feel like God wants to be done. But as you begin to pray about it, unfortunately, God doesn't give you the green light to remove them. God shows you, no, they're the right person in that position. and the Lord begins to show you, you know what needs to happen? What needs to happen here is you don't need to remove them. You need to have a better relationship with them. And so now the Lord is speaking to you that you need to invest in them. You need to kind of humble yourself and deal with them and adjust to them and strengthen your relationship with them so and that as your relationship gets stronger, they actually care about what you're trying to do and they'll begin to follow and then they will do a better job in their position and the ministry will move forward. Sometimes it's like this. You're trying to move forward in your life and you keep failing. I've seen this over and over as a pastor. It's like I hit these seasons in my life where things are going good and then I hit a wall. And I realize that there's something in my life that I'm gonna have to stop doing. You know, maybe I was doing too many discipleships or maybe I was making too many appointments or I was taking on too many tasks or whatever it is. And so I realized that in order for this thing to move forward, I'm going to have to say no to some things. Now get it. And when I say no to these things, I'm going to upset somebody. So like for where I am, as our church is growing and our ministry is growing, I can't be what I was when I pastored a church that was smaller. I can't avail myself the same way. I've had to learn how to point people to my leaders. I've had to put people in positions and I've had to say, look, you need to schedule with this person. You need to talk to that person. But you know, not everybody likes that. And it takes courage. It takes bravery sometimes to look somebody and tell them, hey, I know you want to meet with me, but I really think you need to meet with the leader over this thing. And you know you're going to upset them. You know that they're not going to be happy with you. It takes courage sometimes to make changes that way when you know someone's going to be offended by it. Sometimes, and I'm going to qualify this quite a bit as I work my way in, sometimes you may have to remove somebody or at the minimum have a strong conversation with somebody. There are times where there is someone who is they're not the right person. That happens. Sometimes maybe they're a disruptive force to a ministry or to an area, and you're the one in the position, you're the one in the leadership, and sometimes gracefully and spiritually, you're gonna have to gently move them out of that. That takes courage to do that. You may realize this, that your temperament is hindering you from being effective, and you're gonna have to change a little bit and get out of your comfort zone to be able to be able to help people and to move things forward. You might have to be a little more social. You might have to be a little less social. There might be some things about yourself that you're gonna have to change in order for things to move forward for the Lord. Sometimes you might need to make cuts to personal life, to spending. You might need to break off a friendship or distance yourself. You might need to become more involved in the correction of your child. What I'm saying is this, is that as you and I are seeking to move forward, we're going to come into roadblocks. And as we hit these roadblocks, we're going to realize that in order for this to be fixed, I'm going to have to make a change or a decision, and it's going to require courage. Sometimes it's just a step of faith. Sometimes it's just, you know what? We're going to go for it. We're going to do this thing. In order for us to move forward for the Lord, we are going to have to exercise faith in this thing. Which the implication of this, if wisdom needs strength, here's the first thing. The easy way rarely runs the same path as the wise way. The easy way rarely runs on the same path as the wise way. In other words, if you're going to be wise, if you're going to build, if you're going to see God bless, you can't just always do what's easy. You can't just do what always pleases people. You can't just always do what brings less confrontation and less trouble and less trials to you. Because in order for wisdom to happen, a lot of times the path of the wise is the path of the hard, and it requires courageous and difficult decisions. But here's what that also means. Discernment is needed in determining if and when strength is needed. Look, you don't just go and say, oh, well, we just need to start removing people from a situation. You better be prayerful and use great discernment in knowing, okay, maybe that is necessary, but maybe not yet. Maybe we'll give it more time. It takes discernment to know that. Listen, strength doesn't always mean confrontation, but it does mean it sometimes. Did you get that? Strength doesn't always mean confrontation, but it does mean sometimes. If you are going to exercise wisdom, if you are going to move things forward in your life, there are just going to be times you're going to have to do hard things. You're going to have hard conversations. Listen, as a parent, you cannot parent your children and never have hard conversations with them. That's unavoidable. You can't be a pastor, you can't be a leader, you cannot be in a position of influence and not sometimes have to confront issues. Okay, which leads to my second point, which is this. Courage is often missing among those who need wisdom. Okay, when wisdom says, I have strength, I want you to think about this. The idea of courage or valor, they are not words that we use to describe ordinary events or normal or ordinary actions. We have a man in our church, he's in law enforcement, and here a few months ago, he got a Medal of Valor, okay, for an act of courage. Now listen, when we went to his award ceremony, they didn't say, oh, we're gonna present Officer Days with the Medal of Valor for handling his paperwork properly. Or he gave out so many speeding tickets. No, when you get a medal, get it, when you get a Medal of Valor, it's, think about this, it's speaking about action that is uncommon or rare or not performed by other people normally. In other words, think about this, that in life, very few people are willing to exercise the courage and strength needed for wisdom. Here's why. Because courage requires more from us than we often care to give. I want you to think about this sometime. You look at a church, you look at a business, you look at any place where there's a group of people, and you look at where there's a breakdown. Okay? Things aren't working right. Now, here's what's interesting. If you really look at this, very rarely is the breakdown because people don't know what needs to happen. Do you know what almost always it is? That the person who knows what needs to happen doesn't want to deal with it. No, you know most parents, in a family actually know what their children need from the Word of God? No, like in most Christian families, it's not really that complicated. Like I know parenting isn't easy, but just at its base level, it's not super complicated. Most parents know what their children need, but you know what the reality is? Most parents don't really want to deal with the drama and the trauma of doing what's necessary to raise their children. In many churches, here's what you're going to find. Many pastors truly do know what needs to happen. They truly know a change here or an adjustment here or a movement here or a step of faith here. But the reality is that oftentimes the courage or the strength to do it is lacking because they don't want to deal with the problems or the mess or the stress of having to handle it. Think about how many things in your business or your employment would be so much better if someone was simply willing to just step up spiritually to handle a situation. So the lack of strength is often the reason for a lack of wisdom. Listen, it's often not that we don't have the answer. It's often that we don't have the strength to take care of the answer. Now, let me say a couple things about this. We should give room for people to make mistakes, but we must be careful of allowing people to become kings over outcomes. Okay, what do you mean by that? Whenever you put someone in a position, you have to give people room to fail. You have to give room for people to have weaknesses and struggles and issues, and you got to have a certain level of grace. But there's a difference between that and allowing someone to become the dominator of the outcome and to diminish or hinder what God wants to do in a church. And sometimes it's we're not just giving people grace and room. Sometimes we're just doing this because we don't want to deal with something and we're allowing a situation to hinder what God could be doing. I'll say it this way. There's a thin line between patience and cowardice. There's a thin line. And it takes discernment to know which is which. There are times when the Holy Spirit's going to say this, patience. And I think a lot of times the Holy Spirit's saying that. But then there are other times when the Holy Spirit's saying this, you need to wisely and gently deal with that situation. And when you don't deal with a situation, here's what you're allowing. You're allowing someone or something to be a roadblock from wisdom being exercised and things moving forward. All of us will find ourselves knowing what needs to be done, but feeling too weak to carry it out. I have found this to be true, that strength that we once had can disappear as the years of repetition wear us down. I even think about it as a parent. First kid, man, Naomi, she got the full force of parenting skills. Like Naomi came into the world and we read all the books and it was like, no, we got a little tape in the living room and we're teaching her how to obey commands. Man, by the time we got down to Caitlin, it was just like, hey, here's the house, do whatever you want. Now, what is that? It's repetition of hard decisions wear us out. You know, that's true about ministry. And I was young in the ministry, and I would probably have been too zealous, no doubt, when you're young. You probably overstep, and you probably are overcorrective. But you know what I have found that over the years? I get tired of confrontation. I get tired of holding standards. Like I get tired of meetings and rules and procedures and all the, it gets wearisome. And sometimes, you know what the temptation is? As the years progress, it's very natural on us to just kind of say, you know what, I'm going into grandpa phase, just have a blast. But when we do that, wisdom is withheld. Because strength is needed for wisdom. And as you and I get older and the more and more years that we do something, we have to understand that oftentimes we may become wiser, but we may have increasingly less strength to exercise that wisdom that we have. In other words, I feel like at 45 as a pastor, I have a much greater understanding of what needs to be done than when I was a young pastor, but I'm finding myself having a lot less energy and a lot less courage and strength sometimes to deal with it because I'm a lot more fatigued from years and years and years of hard decisions. And that's what happens to you and me. What happens to you and me is in our families, in our lives, sometimes we just think, I'm just tired of this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to make this decision. I don't want to discipline my spending. I just want to get what I want to get. I'm tired of budgets. And we wear down. And what happens is this, we lose the strength to carry out wisdom. And I love what the Word of God says in verse 14. And that's why the Bible says this, I have strength. God wants you and me to understand this, that He has the courage. He has the bravery. He has the strength. You know, one of the things I love about the Lord, we understand that God has all wisdom. Right? That God knows everything that needs to happen. I love how Paul in the book of Romans and other places in the Gospels, in the epistles, he talks about that God has manifold wisdom. In other words, He has layered wisdom. He has wisdom here and wisdom here. And He thinks things out in all these different ways to bring about the perfect end and the perfect results. You know, you think about this, that before the foundation of the world, God knew everything that was going to happen with Adam and Eve. And He knew that man would not be able to solve their sin problem. They would not be able to redeem themselves. Yet he wanted a relationship with them and he wanted them to have free will. And so in trying to mesh free will and sin and all these different things, God knew exactly the wise thing that needed to happen. He needed to send his son to the earth, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God knew what needed to happen. But you know that wisdom needed courage? There's Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating as it were drops of blood. Jesus Christ getting ready to bear the full wrath of the Almighty Father, separated from the Father, he who knew no sin becoming sin. Now you and I can't grasp that. You and I cannot understand what it's like for a being who has been eternally always one, always perfect, always sinless in this moment to experience the full wrath of God, to be separated from the Father. We cannot comprehend that. Yet Jesus Christ in the garden said this, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." You know what that was? That was wisdom and the strength to carry out the wisdom. You know, sometimes we don't think about this, that God has promised one day, with all of the corruption and all of the sin and all of the wickedness and all of the vileness on the earth, God has promised in his wisdom to one day bring all created things to a place of perfect justice and judgment, and one day we will be in an eternal bliss of peace. And he knows how he's gonna do that. But you know what it's gonna require? A great white throne. And that's gonna take a certain level of strength to bring justice and to bring judgment and to exercise his authority and power over sin. No, God knows what needs to happen to bring peace and justice, but God doesn't just know what needs to happen. God has the strength and the power to bring it about. Listen, you think the great white throne is something that brings God joy? Absolutely not. But he has that spiritual courage and bravery to do what is necessary to bring about the perfect justice and the perfect peace that he knows is needed eventually. God has not only all wisdom, but he has all strength and all power for wisdom to be carried out. And when he says, "I have strength," do you know what he's implying? He's saying this, "I know I have strength and I know you don't have it." You know what God is saying to David? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, "David, I know that you don't have strength to be the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I know that as all these different decisions are coming, and as I'm giving you the wisdom and I'm showing you this is what needs to happen here, or I'm showing you with your children, a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old and a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old, and whatever other one is, I think 14 or whatever, when you got all these, I'm gonna give you the wisdom, but here's what I know, David, you don't have the strength in yourself to even carry that wisdom out. And David, as decisions are coming across and you need to meet with this person and they're gonna ask for your advice, and they want, as Verse Kelly said, they want you to kind of rubber stamp and say, that's a great thing. And you know, as you're sitting there, it's not a great thing. You don't have the strength to look them in their eyes and say, this is not a great thing in a spiritual way. And on and on and on. And God would say the same thing to you. I know that you don't have the strength to endure the decisions and changes and challenges and all that comes with building a wise life. But God says this, you don't have to have the strength. I have the strength. And when God says he has the strength, he's not saying like, ha ha, I have it, you don't. The implication is this, I have it and I will give it to you. Here's what wisdom is saying. Wisdom is saying, I have the answers for what you need to do in your life to bring about godly and productive results. I have the answers, but not only do I have the answers, I have the ability to strengthen you to carry it out. I cannot tell you how many times in my life the Lord has put things in front of me that I knew were of the Lord, and I knew I didn't have the courage, I didn't have the strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, God enabled me and strengthened me to make that decision. And then when I look back, I'm like, if I did not make that decision, this would be nowhere near as fruitful as it is right now. Now, let me share some things. How does God give us strength? Let me give you some things that I think that just in walking with the Lord and in the scriptures, you'll see this. Here's one way. God will give us a conviction about a decision that will then give us strength to perform it. Okay. So a lot of times when you're trying to move something forward, you'll see there's a problem. And you feel like there's a decision that needs to be made, but you're unsure if you should make the decision or not. You're unsure. You're not positive what God would want you to do. Can I just tell you, when you don't know what God wants you to do, you shouldn't do anything yet. And here's what the Lord will do. If you're patient and you'll pray and you'll seek counsel, what will begin to happen is this decision that at first is very, I don't know, over the course of time, here's what will happen. It will go from being kind of, I don't know, to it becomes a conviction. It's like the Lord will bring you along and he'll show you over the course of time, this is what needs to happen. This is what you need to do. And he will build up your conviction to a place when you finally have the strength to say, this is what God wants. This is what God desires. And now you have the courage and the bravery to make that decision. And a lot of times it's just a matter of patience and allowing God to build that resolve in you and help you come to the time where you know for sure this is what needs to happen. Another way that God often gives you, and I think this is one of the biggest ones in my life, God will allow you to go through a long season of failure, which will make wisdom so important, you will eventually have the courage to do whatever is necessary. In other words, you'll keep failing. And you keep doing what you always do, but you keep failing and you get tired of failing. And you get so tired of failing in your marriage or with your children or in your ministry, you get so tired of failing that you become more willing and open for whatever God tells you to do, you're willing to do it. And so maybe something at the beginning, if God said, you need to rearrange your schedule, or you need to change this, or you need to deal with this situation, you won't deal with it, but God allows you to fail, and God allows it to go bad, and God allows it to go bad, and he doesn't fix it because he wants you to get to the place where you become desperate and you become certain that I need a change. Think about how many times the biggest decisions of your life came after repeated failure and you finally made necessary change. And then you said, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Because God was bringing you through a process of failure to give you the strength to make the decision. You didn't have the strength to do it a long time ago, but it was that repeated failure that God used in your life to bring you to a place where you'd be willing to make that decision. Sometimes it's just like this. Courage is given by God through the Spirit of God when we ask for it. There's been a lot of times in my life where God has told me, you need to do this. And I've said, I don't want to do this. And I've had to just ask God for the strength, ask God for the courage, ask God for the grace. You know what's amazing? God will give it to you. God will give you the strength. God will give you the enablement to make the decision, to make the change, to do what's necessary for things to move forward. Listen, if you are not sure an act is wise, then you should not expect strength for it. If you are not certain that God is in it, you're not sure that that's what the Lord should have, you cannot expect God to enable you, to strengthen you, or to empower you if you're not really sure if it's what you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes we must take action by faith and then believe that God will provide the strength. There have been times when I'm just like, this is what God wants. I don't really feel like I'm up for it, but we're going to do it. And you know what's amazing? God gives you the strength to get through it. God, have you ever had a conversation you didn't want to have, but you knew you need to have it, and you made the appointment, you're like, all right, we're going to have it, and you're the whole, and then you get in, and God gives you the grace, and he gives you the strength, and he gives you the power. That's what the Lord does. If you step out by faith, he will help you to get through those situations. There is a true and real supernatural strength that God gives to those he calls to use wisdom. There is a divine enablement that God will provide for you when he puts wisdom in front of you. I wrote this: we have not strength because we ask not for strength. We have not because we ask not. You know, a lot of times we don't have the bravery and the courage because we just don't ask the Lord for it. And say, God, I really believe this is what you want. I really believe these are the changes that need to be made. I really believe this is the step of faith that I need to take. And God, I'm afraid. God, I don't like confrontation. God, I'm just flat out tired. God, I don't really enjoy. I get home from work and I don't want to do this. Or God, I'm afraid of this step of faith. I'm afraid what I might risk or what I might lose, but I believe that it's what you're calling me to do. God, will you give me the strength? And God will give you the things that you ask for. All right, so here's the principle this morning. What we know is only as beneficial as what we're willing to do. I'm going to say that again. I want to let that sit. What we know is only as beneficial as what we're willing to do. What you know as a parent is only as beneficial as what you're willing to do as a parent. What you know as a boss is only as beneficial as what you're willing to do as a boss. What you know to do as a pastor or as a ministry leader is only as beneficial as what you're willing to do. And you are only able to do what you know to do by the strength and the hand of God. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you in your ministry. I want to encourage you in your life that as you look at things, ask yourself, what is it that we need to be doing? What is it that I need to be doing to move situations forward? And to analyze if there's been a lack of strength or courage in those areas. And if that's the case, to seek the face of God, because God says this: I have strength. I have strength. What we know is only as beneficial as what we're willing to do. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you would give us a Holy Spirit balance. Lord, I know that a text like this, the implication isn't to go out here and to just change and slice things. Sometimes, Father, the courage is to be patient. Sometimes the courage is to endure. But Father, would you help us to see that there are things that need to be done. There is actions that need to be taken. And would you help us, Lord, to have the courage as parents, the courage in our marriage, the courage in our ministries, the courage with our finances, the courage, Lord, in pursuing your will to do the things that you've called us to do. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed,